I am sure that all of you are really happy to hear on Friday that in 2 weeks we'll be going from red to yellow, from red to yellow, and we will be able to celebrate masses publicly again with social distancing and taking care of each other in a loving way. That will certainly be a great day that has been longed for and anticipated by all of us. And it's great to know that we're 2 weeks away from that day. I do want to say that, especially for our elderly, right, that and the most vulnerable among us, that might not be able right now to go to church because they feel maybe unsafe or they're a little bit ill. We don't want to place them in any type of vulnerable situation. So the dispensation from attending Mass will remain in place until further notice. But hopefully all those who could come will come, and that certainly will be a great day of rejoicing when that moment which we had maybe even taken for granted, now we're able to have in our midst again. El viernes fue un día de gran alegría para muchos saber, leyendo a mí, que podremos dentro de 2 semanas empezar las misas públicamente, respetando restricciones de seguridad. Se mantendrá todavía a la dispensa de asistir a misa, especialmente dirigido a aquellos que no pueden por la ancianidad o por alguna enfermedad, para ayudarlos a ellos y que se sientan tranquilos y en paz. So Thursday, at least in this part of the country and of the world, we celebrated Ascension Thursday, that moment in which Jesus ascends into the heavens. And I always wonder what the apostles said at that moment when Jesus ascended into the heavens. And we'd like to think that he probably, everybody was like in ecstasy and just absolutely amazed. But I don't know if it was that, because these apostles, they were like very real types of people. And if it was me, I would have said, that's it. So that was that. Now what do we do? Now what do we do? He gave them a mission, he gave them a mandate, but he certainly didn't give them a manual. I'm sure they just thought, and now what? How do we figure this thing out? But he would walk with them because he promised, as he walks with us. And I'm sure in our own lives, we have been in different moments in which we've said to ourselves, that was it? And now what? Now what happens? But we have discovered over time that the Lord has been faithful to his promise. El jueves pasado acabamos de celebrar, por lo menos en esta parte del país, de nuestro país y del mundo, la fiesta de la Ascensión de Jesús. Y supongo que esos apóstoles, al ver a Jesús ascender a los cielos, al final se dirían, ¿y ahora qué? ¿Y qué hacemos ahora? El Señor les dio una misión, un mandato, pero no un manual. Y se cuestionarían ellos, ¿y ahora qué hacemos? Igual que nosotros en distintos momentos de nuestro caminar, también hemos cuestionado, ¿y ahora qué? ¿Qué hacemos ahora? Pero los apóstoles confían en la promesa de Jesús de que Él estaría con ellos. Es la promesa que también nosotros cargamos, ¿no?, en nuestro corazón. Y Él ha sido fiel, el Señor ha sido fiel con nosotros. Y en esos momentos en que nosotros mismos hemos dicho o preguntado, ¿y ahora qué?, el Señor al final nos ha dirigido y nos ha llevado, algunas veces con líneas torcidas, porque el Señor escribe derecho con líneas torcidas a veces, pero siempre fiel con su promesa. The gospel takes us back a little bit, actually, It takes us back to several hours before Jesus' passion and death, in which he's now praying for his apostles. This priestly prayer of Jesus, captured by John the Evangelist in the 17th chapter of his gospel. And I'd like to focus you on one specific area of that prayer, of this part of his prayer, that he's talking to the Father about his apostles, these disciples, this group of people that had followed him. It talks about how he believes in them. You know, Jesus had been around these apostles now for about 3 years. So he had gotten to know them pretty well. What makes them tick? What gets them upset? Many times in the journey of this three-year journey of Jesus with the apostles don't seem to get it all the time. They just don't seem to get it at times. They're just kind of off, just a little bit. And we see Jesus even expressing a little bit of frustration at times. When will you understand? He says to them kind of at a moment. But let me reread you this little sentence from this gospel. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you have given them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. He knew their weaknesses, their shortcomings, their at times even narrow-mindedness. He knew all that, and he knew their great points because he spent time with them. He also knew when he was praying that this group of 12 were going to do him in too. He also knew that. He knew that Judas would betray him, that Peter would deny him, that the rest would run for the hills, that they would abandon him at his hour. He often spoke about this hour in the Gospel of John. And oftentimes the hour, he would say, the hour has not come. Well, now the hour has come. And those whom he had walked with disappeared at the end, and he knew it was going to happen, but he believed in them. He didn't judge. He wasn't going to judge them simply by a moment in time. And isn't that a great gift, right? That the Lord doesn't judge us by any given moment. Praise God, right? Imagine if there's a moment in time and that becomes what we're judged on, not the totality of who we are. So he doesn't judge them. He won't judge them from that moment, in that moment, in that hour when they disappeared from his sight and ran for the hills, because he believed in them. He says to his Father, he says, you know, Lord, at the end of the day, they have their ups and their downs and this and that, but they got it. They got it. Be patient with them. They got it. I pray for them because they have believed. They know. And it might take them a little time, but they know. Well, he was right. Because these early disciples had such a powerful experience of the risen Lord in their lives that when it came time to choose between denying him and losing their life, they gave their life. without question, because they got it. And yes, that moment did happen where they ran for the hills and they denied him. That moment did happen. But it didn't represent the totality of what was in their hearts that had been captured by the Lord. And that's the Lord, the way the Lord treats us, right? Those who have encountered Christ, we all have our ups and our downs. We too run for the hills at times. And thank God that he does not judge us or define us by a particular moment or a slice of our journey. Because the fact that you're gathered here today to listen to the word, to join us in the celebration of the Eucharist, even though you can't receive the Eucharist and you're doing it spiritually, speaks of the fact that you too got it. That you too got it. Because like he believed in his apostles back in the day, he also believes in you. He believes in us. And we praise God for that.